This conference
Labor Committee to
will
order.
Now be recorded.
Perfect. It is 6:15. Our first item is a call to order and roll call. Just for posterity, let's just go around and say who's all here. Sean Meskey.
Fernando Alvarado.
Kathy Schwantes.
Samantha Beckman.
Ryan Grau.
And so, all right, and also joining us, we have, according to here, and just correct me if I'm wrong, we got Gary Manzer, Shelby Lindgren from the Tribune, Sean Christensen, and Mayor Marv Kelvin. Is there anybody that we have missed? All right, welcome to our first virtual meeting for the Labor Committee. I think most of you have already have had a few meetings by this medium. I think it's working quite well. Samantha, first and pretty much our only agenda item, I'll let you kick it off. We've got staffing levels during COVID-19.
All right, so we have a list for you here of how things are functioning currently, as far as each department and who's working remotely, which departments are and who has to work remotely and going into the office. There's some departments here who are working remotely slash alternating schedules as the software that they need to use isn't available remotely. We're seeing that the most with our engineering department and with our finance department. They just have systems that we can't access remotely. So that's one of our biggest hurdle as far as trying to get more remote. But otherwise, a lot of departments were able to start working remotely fairly easily. There are, of course, public works and engineering jobs that cannot be done remotely. So we have gone down to half of our usual staffing amount and just split the crews. We have the same crews working one week, then off the next week. So there's no crossover between the employees. So hopefully that does help contain, I guess, germs. No one's been sick yet, but if or when that happens, hopefully there won't be any cross-contamination with the crews. Are there any, I guess, questions or anything you want more detail on for some of these other departments?
Councilmember Schwantes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Councilmember Meskey, Chair Meskey. Sam, can you tell me what kind of protocols do we have when people come into the office, or like with Gary here on the call, when folks are going to the shop or, you know, at Public Works and things? But what are the protocols? Are people wearing masks? Are they rinsing down handles and, you know, disinfecting after themselves and so doing the social distancing while they're at the workplace?
Yep. I know every building has moved things around so that they can all be 6 feet apart in break rooms, lunch rooms, or offices or desks. So all of that has been moved around to try to create the space. We're disinfecting doorknobs. I know specifically for Public Works, they've talked about too, now that it's warm out, they actually just have most of the doors propped open so you don't even have to touch handles. We've talked about masks, and that's what they've been talking about on a lot of the webinars we've been on too. Something we haven't made required yet, but we did also get masks for everyone in a public facing position. We did get masks from the county, so everyone does have them who would be a public up and out in the public interacting with the public, so they could wear those masks. Trying to think, sorry, what your other questions were.
Just those protocols in general to assure that it's a safe environment for employees. And the last thing we want is to have one person in the office and all of a sudden we've got 10 people in the office who are sick and they're out for weeks on end. I mean, that would be what we're trying to avoid. So,
City Administrator Grammons.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the purpose this is for this meeting tonight on this particular subject is along the same lines as Councillor Schwantes is identifying, and that we've been having discussions over the last two weeks about having split shifts in public works. And obviously, maybe in the wintertime when you don't have grass to mow and all the other kind of things to really keep you really busy, as compared to spring, which is really busy, it's easier to swallow probably sitting at home. And both Sean and Gary and I have been talking about what does it take to bring both shifts back on 40 hours a week and to do and perform the work that's needed in our community. Some of it is expected, some of it is temporary, such as, let's say, taking down all the weight limit signs, you know, from the winter time, taking them down, putting them away, ready to get put up next year or later this fall. But there's other things like mowing grass and maintaining the baseball diamonds and all of those things that go with all of the activities that Public Works does every year. And so the discussions we've been having have centered around how do we keep both groups of people in Public Works maybe separated even at work. And Gary has talked about having different break rooms. Obviously, they're using different pieces of equipment, so they're not, you know, cross-contaminating the equipment. But we still need to have the equipment sanitized every so often, maybe on a daily basis, whether it's your pickup truck or the jackhammer or whatever. And we've talked about having one group stay in the shop, accessing the bathroom there, and another group in another building, which we would have to probably bring in porta-pots with hand sanitary, you know, facilities and all that sort of thing to keep these two groups separate, but working at the same time. Okay. And I think, you know, both Sean and Gary have identified ways and protocols that we can utilize so that there is not one group necessarily contaminating the other. Because if you look back to the reason why we did what we did, it was basically, you know, the governor said, yes, public works is essential, but there's certain things that we do in public works are less essential than others. And so if we can send people home, and so that was an attempt to do that. The secondary benefit to that, it's not secondary, it's actually the primary benefit to that, is what Councillor Schwantes identified was, if one person came in and contaminated all 20 of our workers, we might lose all the workers and not have anybody to work. And I think that's what I've been, you know, talking to Gary and Sean about. And I hope they're relaying that to the employees, because, you know, kind of the things that I'm hearing is that they're feeling they're unappreciated because they're not considered essential, that they have to go to work. My belief is that they're extremely essential, and I don't want to lose everybody because one person had the virus and wipes us all out. And that's been my story from the, you know, basically from the beginning. Separate them. We've got two groups of people. We're not going to lose. Don't put all our eggs in one basket, if you want to consider it the old saying. And what Gary and Sean have put together was a plan that incorporates all of the things that we've learned in the last 4 weeks, what to do, what not to do, and try and keep our two crews separated so that they can still perform the tasks that we're asking them to do. And so that's why this is really here. Do we want to change our current position given the spring work that we have now in our parks, in our streets? You know, we got more than enough work. And I think if we do it right, we've got more than enough protection so that our workers don't cross-contaminate each other or spread it. Okay, majority of the employees in public works are working in clusters. They're not touching other citizens in the community in their normal work. They're not putting things across the counter, taking money from somebody and giving them a product like you would see in a retail store. They're really go out to work, do their work, go back to the shop, get some supplies, go do another task. So I think what I'm asking is should we at this time consider a change in the split shifts in public works? And then that's the first question. And then the second question is, given the fact that we normally have 8 to 10 part-timers that we're not hiring, there really is a lot of probably low-level work that the part-timers were doing, such as, you know, mowing grass and things of that nature, that we still have about 3 or so people in park and rec that, from what I can see or see into the future as best I can, is with the governor shutting down the school facilities, in essence, for the whole school year, that those facilities may not likely be available for our park and rec programming. I mean, it makes sense to me. Why close it for the school and then open it up for recreation? Let's all play and bounce the same balls and touch everything. So our programming is going to go south on us. And we've got programmers that we could slide over to Public Works and pick up some of those part-time activities and help out Public Works, try and get their work done. So that's the question number two. Is that a logical thing to do given what we know today? Now, I know Fernando had raised his finger and he has a question, but one of the more interesting things is going through the first 3 weeks and feeling the frustration of many of the employees saying, we've only had 1 or 2 people contract the virus. What's the big deal? Why can't I come back to work? That has changed now too. You know, the difference a 1 week makes with the number of people that have now contracted the virus and how this can just blow up in your face. So then does that action that's occurring in Willmar, you know, at Genio and what is it, a nursing home? I can't think of the name, but those two locations.
Bethesda.
Is that enough for us to take a step back and say, even though Gary, you know, has got, you know, them separated and is doing the sanitation, this thing is blowing up and it's becoming larger than what it was 3 weeks ago. And is that enough to say, nope, we're going to continue on with what we're doing? So those were the three things I wanted to pass along to the committee and say, please let us, let staff know your thoughts on these issues, because it really does impact, you know, the level of services that we are going to provide to the residents of the community. So I'm done. Anybody else can jump.
Councilmember Alvarado.
Thank you, Chairman Muskie. You know, I would like to think of that about maybe staggering start times and keep them and draw the line on who's going to start when. Make sure if you're going to start at, let's say, 8 o'clock and you've got to be on the job by 8:30, you're out of there before the next team shows up. So I would suggest we think about staggering the hours. I would also encourage anytime you're around another person, you've got a mask on. I think Chairman Muskie would echo that sentiment, that it's important that you have some sort of protection over your nostrils and mouth so you don't inhale potential pathogens. So I would encourage that protocols. If Gary's team fights that, then they need to stay home. We can't let them put themselves at risk by saying, oh, it's not going to happen to me. This is a serious disease, and from what I understand, Micro and Council Chair can confirm this, but very minute pieces of air particles can linger in the air after somebody sneezes, and somebody can walk through that cloud and get infected. So it's important to follow the rules if you come up with rules that say, hey, you have to have your mask on, if you're within 6 feet of anybody, you better have your mask on. It's just that important, and there's no exceptions to that rule. If we're going to stay healthy, I just don't think that's the way to go about it. I think it's important we follow the rules and protocols. And the other thing I was going to suggest, besides staggering, I was going to say, maybe we can have every employee have a small bottle of hand sanitizer or something in their possession or in their vehicle so that they can use it after they touch a door handle, put gas in the car, whatever the case may be, so that they can further have some potential barrier. So thank you very much.
Councilmember Spontas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say that the fact that the public works guys are chomping at the bit and want to get back to work is just a testimony to what great hard workers and dedicated people they are, right? They see the work that needs to be done and they want to get there. So my compliments to them, because you've got a good staff. I know they're loyal to you, Gary, and you are loyal to them. So as they are expressing their concerns of wanting to get back, I can imagine that there's pressure on you to be able to come up with some kind of a solution. I will note that the governor's stay goes through midnight of May 3rd. So we're talking May 4th, and assuming that it's not extended again, that's basically next Monday, right, that we're talking about. So 1 week. I like the idea of having separate entrances for the two different teams. I think that's a great idea, and completely having it completely separate so that there's no crossover between those two teams in any way, shape, or form. I'll just note, in addition to porta potties, you can get portable hand washing stations as well. So, but I think what I'd like to see is there are a lot of good resources out there in developing your plan and protocols for that work area. I'd say take this next week, put together a very detailed plan of how you expect people to operate, share that with your team. And, you know, we have our council meeting on May 4th. It could, if assuming it would be approved here for your team to go back to work, it would be at the council meeting on May 4th. That would give you time to put together that plan and get your folks ready to come back. And, you know, but I feel strongly that we should continue to honor the governor's request to go through that May 4th date, especially since it's so close by. And we, again, need to model what we're expecting of other businesses in our community.
Thank you. City Administrator Grammets.
Yeah, committee members, I think Gary has done a very good job in staggering the times of when the first group will come to work, 5 in the morning, gets off really early. There is an overlap, but because they're in separate buildings, I think that's doable. Gary has outlined the sanitation process, and I think he's done about all he can do except do a one-on-one with every employee and explain, you know, in detail and have them check off and sign at the bottom. He's put a lot of thought into it. I do appreciate it. It ate up probably the better part of 4 or 5 emails back and forth and quite lengthy. So, you know, I have full faith that Gary will be able to deal with, his department and have them do the best they possibly can. I don't know if we had received masks. I don't know how many we have, but I do know that the one I was wearing a couple days ago, it wasn't a commercially made one. My wife made it, and she made it for the winter time because, as I was wearing it into Walgreens and a couple other places, man, I'm sweating. And I can just imagine somebody sitting on a lawnmower or a jackhammer or whatever with a mask on. It's got to be like insanely miserable because I was just walking. But I think if Gary does not have masks, we need to acquire more, because when you're working, they will get dirty, they'll get torn, they'll get unusable. So we're going to, you know, in the office, it's not that big of a deal, you know, but when you're outside working like they are, I think they're going to need to go through more than just, you know, one a week kind of a thing. So Gary, you know, if you want to check with Frank or if you've got enough, that's fine. But I think we need to probably access more of the mass if we can.
Thank you for all the comments so far. I will say the council also values the public works employees, and we have to get them back to work, and we have to get them back to work safely. I like where the conversation is going. This is where the council can help. If we in any way can help get you additional PPE that you might need for our workers, that makes people more comfortable for more people being back to work, I think put that together. Masks are at a premium. Mr. Grammons, you are in the city where they make them. I don't know if you can make a midnight run, but you're where most of those masks are being made. And you can get the masks with the air in the front, and I highly recommend you pursue those. Then they're not so hot and they're not so uncomfortable for workers to wear. Hand sanitizer is good, but I think if the council can help with portable hand washing stations, like council member Schwantes brought up, those are the kinds of things that the council, I think, could help make this an easier transition. We want everybody back to work. So I'm not gonna tell you how to arrange that. I think we've got competent people to do that. I wanna be able to support that and let them know we want our public works people back to work, but we want them to come back to work and be safe. You know, I have no doubt, and remember this, because this is part of how the process works with diseases. I have no doubt we'll be very good at it while they're working here and working during the day at the city. But they do go home and they do other things, and they may come in contact with other people at that time and inadvertently bring it somewhere else. And we don't want that to happen. So while they're at work, if we can take some extra precautions so we don't spread it, because we have to be the example. I mean, we have been following the governor's protocol, and we have been implementing all of the pieces about accessing leave and those types of things, and I'm proud to do that. But we need to also set that example for everyone. And so if we're wearing masks out, the public sees that, because I can tell you in my goings, I just was at the grocery store here today, three quarters of the people still are not doing that kind of thing. And I would imagine I'd be in the same position if those grocery store workers were my employees too. It's like, you know, we have to make sure we're taking care of our employees that are taking care of us. Because there's plenty of work that's not being done that should be getting done. So I would support any idea we've got, as long as we're making sure we're keeping our employees as safe as we possibly can. Councilmember Alvarado.
Thank you. And I guess, you know, if you're riding in your car alone, you don't need to wear your mask. You drive up to a drive-thru to get a cup of coffee, I would encourage you to have your mask. I mean, there's common sense there. I think the bottom line is, I want safety for our workers. I'm concerned that I don't want them to get sick. Nobody wants to be sick. This is going to be a terrible thing if somebody gets sick, and the repercussions of how it affects your body, it's terrible. It's terrible. So we just want to, if we can prevent it, we can maintain our safety, like Council Member Muskie said, and Councilor Kathy Schwantes said, then I'm all for safety, and that's all I'm preaching. I just want them to be safe. That's our charge, is to make sure our people are safe, and I think it's a big deal. Thank you.
Vicki, I can't see you. You're under my bottom little row. You're like at the bottom of the Hollywood Squares, so I can't see if you've had your hand up or not. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I was just curious if they need two people to go to a job, are they taking separate vehicles?
Gary or Brian?
So when possible, we try to use as many vehicles we got. Obviously, we get limited on you know, vehicles. So I know we've had two people to a vehicle. Currently, our practice has been, I've gotten hand sanitizer by the gallon, and I also got a personal bottle for every employee, plus I got a bunch extra to throw in trucks. So they've been using that. We spread our lunchroom out into the main shop back there, and it's spread out quite a bit. We've got sanitizer at each table. That's a spray-on sanitizer. We've got that by bulk, and we've been spraying everything down as long as vehicles, door handles. We've propped every interior door open. So the only doors that we have closed are the ones on the outside, and with nice weather, we've been able to open it, you know, so you're less handling of doors. You know, we do have masks. Frank brought out some, I don't know, kind of a 3M type mask, but it's a lower end one. And then we also got these like gaiters, like a neck gaiter that you can pull up over your nose and mouth if need be. I will say that most people have not been using those, but most of the work they've done, you know, has been out, and I've really emphasized that, you know, we got to keep our distance. You know, that's it. I guess one of the things, my question would be is, what would happen if the governor extends his stay in place? What's that going to affect us? And the other thing is, our people are, you know, using their own time off, and I've got several people that don't have a lot of time off, and they've used up most of that 80 hours of I call it COVID time. I don't know if that's a proper term, but now they're going into their own time, and it's on a payback, and that's where it really starts to hurt. I mean, I think that's been the decisive part of it, is that these people are forced to be home on their time off and burning their time off that they have to eventually pay back before they get time off again. And some of these people don't get a lot. And frankly, that's a big one in itself, is that part of it. And so it's, I'll be honest with you, that's the part that's really drove the morale down. And it feels like they don't have a say and haven't been allowed to give a chance to do the job the right way. And I think we have a good plan. And, you know, whether you do it next Monday or tomorrow, what changes between now and then? I guess that would be my question.
Councilor Schwantes.
Well, I appreciate the things that you are referencing, Gary, as far as the precautions that are being made. I'm going to follow up in regard to lawn mowing. If they're the only one out there, I wouldn't just to clarify, I don't think that was the intent, that they need to be wearing a mask on the lawnmower, right? Yeah, you're right. They are hot and sticky. But if they're in a truck together, that makes sense, or in the office and in the buildings and things. But if you listen to the governor and what he has had to say again today, indications are that he's loosening up, not making things tighter. He said another group of folks that are able to go back to work. So I would be very surprised if he would extend this past May 4th. And I previously had alluded to, you know, taking this to the council on Monday night, but I think that the motion was that it was the administrator's decision with the input from the directors. And so I think that we certainly respect that that's what that motion was originally, and so Administrator Grammas would need to respect your opinion on that, but I would again encourage that we wait till that May 4th date.
City Administrator Grammas.
Yeah, I would agree. I was just about to say, excuse me, I don't know that it needs to get to the council, because if we could figure out a way, then between the department heads, we were going to, you know, do that. And I think we have, for the most part. And I don't want to leave the wastewater treatment facility staff out there hanging either, because we split those into two shifts. And Sean has prepared a plan that basically has the plant shift and the in-town shift. And so those two shifts wouldn't even come into contact with each other, because they'd be housed at different locations, basically. So I believe we're doing as much as we probably can. If we do what we're doing today, this is going to be, or tomorrow, this would be the same thing what we'd be doing on Monday the 4th or the 5th or whenever. You know, we're going to have to transition at some point in time. And I think we've got a fairly good plan on keeping people at work in a safe condition. So with that, with all the work that's going on, I guess I would be looking to work with both Gary and Sean to say, okay, we know what we got to do. Let's be as safe as we can, separate them, sanitize, mask, you know, and let's get on with the show. 1 week isn't going to make it one way or the other, but I think we'll know by Wednesday afternoon, because that's when the governor usually comes out and says, Wednesday, this is what's going to happen next Monday, you know. And so we'll know, you know, in 2 days what's going to happen one way or the other. I'm pretty confident in that. So that's where I stand. I think wastewater has a plan, public works has a plan, and the need for public works for staffing, sliding over people that are in recreation programming, saying we have a job for you to do. You know, it's going to support the public works, you know, department during this next time frame. And, you know, so you don't have to sit at home, twiddle your fingers either. You can get out and do something and feel good about, you know, putting in 8 hours kind of a thing. So that kind of is what I'm proposing. And I think we have the ability to carry that out.
Thank you. The virus put us in this situation. It's not something that the federal government or the state government or the city of Willmar has created. The situation is because of a virus and we're on its timetable. I think we figured out now how to protect our people. That we have to do. That's something you cannot compromise. I know it's difficult, but you have to make sure if we bring our people back that they are going to be safe. So I appreciate the investment, and if we have to make some special thing, if there's not money to cover it, then we need to find PPE for every employee. We need to, if portable hand washing stations or other ideas you have would make this work, we have to do that. Because it could be very reasonable. I know that, and I'm just following what I see on the news, that there were many states that wanted to come out of this together. And some of those states had put the 14th as their date. So I wouldn't be surprised. I know that we are rolling back, but potentially you probably could see until the 14th if some of those roll back. So if we're going to go ahead of that and ahead of the 4th, I'm supportive of it, absolutely, as long as we are making sure our employees are covered. And it sounds like that's what's on the forefront of everybody's mind. But let us not have the obstacle of, oh, well, we didn't think we needed those things. When indeed you do, there is a reason that we are using masks and so on. And so I would agree, a lawnmower, no, but a car and a truck is absolutely the case when there's, especially if there's two. But I will tell you, even when there is one, if that person's an asymptomatic carrier and they're in that truck, the next person that's in that truck potentially can contract that. And so be aware of that. We have these asymptomatic carriers, and when they're somewhere, you need to disinfect before the next person occupies that. Because what we don't want to do is set the example and end up getting a bunch of our crew sick and you're even worse. So think it through. I love the idea of having a fairly well thought out plan. And I know we got people that are doing that, but make sure we use all of that evidence. Gary, I think you had your hand.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know, other than we probably could get a few more masks, you know, if we go through them. I just don't really know what else we could do that would improve what we've been doing. And we've disinfected. We actually put together a thing from Frank on how at the end of the shift, you spray the inside of the cab of the truck and then just let it dry out. And we're doing that on the front side and the back side. We've been sharing the street sweeper, but in between shifts, when that street sweeper comes in, one guy gets out. The other, they spray her down on the inside, wipe her down good before the next person starts. That's really all we can do. And like you said, you know, you do everything you can do, and at the end of the day, somebody might contract it someplace else or who knows where, you know. But I really think it's important that we get going and get people back to doing their job. You know, these are the same people that when it snows on Christmas Eve that we expect them to be out there plowing snow and those sort of things, you know. And I'll be honest with you, it's and I know it's just hit them hard, and I think they just want to get back, and so I mean, whatever we can do, the sooner the better. I mean, it's really hard to try to jockey these people around and try to keep it even, and you know, so who's off and who's working and whatnot, but we're doing our best with it, but I'd appreciate the sooner the better. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary, for what you're doing. It sounds like you're doing the right kinds of things. So thank you for keeping our people safe. City Administrator Graham.
Yeah, I was in Wilmer today to come in and sign papers at City Hall, and I did notice that the crosswalk painting crews were out, and those are the sort of things that, you know, sometimes we forget about, you know, but somebody has to paint those things. And after a winter of sand and salt getting ground into them, they're pretty weak. And to me, that's a public safety thing. I'm not so maybe pressed to maybe mow all the parks, you know, some, you know, remote areas may not get mowed, but the public safety things are to me the important things that have to get done. And I think the, you know, potholes, driving on our streets, fixing, you know, that kind of stuff, that's public safety again too. And so to the extent that those are the jobs that we've identified, and again, the bottom ones, we want to keep up with on the important ones that are on low, but there are some things that we just may not get to. And that's just okay, because we're focusing on public safety. So I'll let it go at that. And Gary and Sean, you've kind of heard, you know, the discussion here. We'll probably, you know, talk tomorrow morning right away. Nod your head. Yes. Okay. Got Gary, and all I see is SC.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Is that a go ahead for me?
No, well, I saw Sean's leg go on to green. I thought maybe he might say something, but it went back to red. All right, it's back on. Go ahead, Sean.
I can say whatever you want. I was just answering Brian.
Very good. All right. All I can see is it went to a green light. So, all right. Councilmember Schwantes.
Thank you. The second question that you had for us was in regard to the part-timers, folks, not having them for the summer. Can we replace those positions with three park and rec positions? Is that correct? Folks that aren't working right now that you'd like to move over and have them doing the mowing and things. And I think that makes great sense to be able to use them in that kind of a capacity. But I again would encourage that not happen until the May 4th governor's date.
Any further questions or discussion upon this topic? Councilmember Alvarado.
I think we're in some of the best time of the year for working outside. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, there's not a lot of bugs out there. And this is kind of the season where we have to make hay, our guys. So again, I'm not going to beat it to death. Safety, safety, safety. Get them back, get them to work, and let's take advantage of the good weather. It seems like my days are flying by faster than Jackie Robinson, and they're just flying by. So I'm afraid to say that right now we're thinking spring, and tomorrow we're going to be worrying about finding our shovel. So get them back, get them to doing what they can do in the spring, and take advantage of our fine weather. That's my thought. Thank you.
I would just say, Brian, whenever you decide, when you get all the information, it'd be nice to be able to tell anybody clearly, here's why the city's doing what we're doing, because we have met the safety precautions for our employees of X, Y, and Z, and that's why we're letting everybody go back. Because we're going to have to be a unified group, and if more eyes look at it and say, oh, wait, what about this or what about that, it's better to share this stuff than do it in isolation. Everybody is wanting the same result, and so let's just share as much as we can as we move forward. So because people are going to have questions. And if heaven forbid something does happen and we do get somebody in the city that gets infected, we all have to take that and then make the best of the situation and say we did the best we could, and that's what happened. So I would appreciate that. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, and just follow up on that. And I don't know that we're going to have a whole lot of public review of this because the county never sent anybody home, as I understand. Okay, so, you know, we were, I don't want to say we were the odd duck out, because if you look across the state, there were many cities did exactly the thing we did. And I've been touching base with their administrators and managers and just saying, you know, what's your plan? And most all of them are saying, hey, spring has sprung. There's a ton of work that's got to get done. We're bringing our people back, but we're following the protocols for sanitation and masks and all this other stuff. So we're in the same boat, I think, as everybody else. And I feel comfortable that both Sean and Gary, you know, have thought this thing out and are going to do the best they possibly can. Now, at the same time, if you listen to what they've been telling us over the TV and radio, is that, you know, we're all going to get it at some point. You know, it's just what we tried to do is knock the spike off the top. And to the extent that we've done that, maybe in the metro more than out in Willmar, because it's just getting here, that's a good thing. And that was the whole purpose of this thing, was to knock the spike off, the top of the spike off. So with that in mind, I think we accomplished what we prolonged this thing, but eventually we're all supposed to get it at some point in time. And that's why they're talking, you know, this thing could be going on in, you know, 12 to 18 months yet. There's still going to be people, you know, contracting this, you know, as it proceeds on. So I think we're going to be okay. And on the plan that we have, and if we run into something that we didn't anticipate, we will make adjustments, overcome, and move on. You know, so I do know we have two other items. Maybe Samantha knows we have one, but I've got two on my list that we want to talk under miscellaneous. So if we're okay with this topic, then I would say we could probably move on.
Anything further on the staffing levels during COVID-19? All right, very good. Thank you for all of your input. I think we all want the same thing. Go ahead, Gary.
So where are we going from here, Brian?
I guess if you're going to follow your plan as you put forth to me, I think we're okay to, you know, start bringing people back. But if you have any questions, you know, we can talk at 8 tomorrow morning before the staff meeting if you have any issues.
I appreciate it. Appreciate your support, and we'll do our darndest to stay safe. So thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Anything else on that issue? All right, we're in miscellaneous. It sounds like maybe miscellaneous really has some items. So Samantha, you want to take that first, and we'll go from there?
Yeah, we just had a few things we wanted to mention to you. I'll do the quick one. First one being, we wanted to establish a basically COVID-19 sick leave bank for our employees. It's something several other cities have just in general, independent of COVID-19. It's a bank that they can donate their sick leave to, and then any employee in need can draw from that. So we want to establish a specific COVID-19 sick leave bank that employees could donate their sick hours to. And then if an employee needs to self-isolate or is diagnosed or seeking a diagnosis for COVID-19, those hours would be available to them. There would be limits on who is allowed to donate and also limits on how many hours you'd be able to use. But I wanted to get that on your radar as something we were hoping to get set up in the next week or two. Especially since a lot of employees have been using the emergency paid sick leave for the shutdown order. So I think it would be really nice to have that available for anyone who's already used all their emergency sick leave during the shutdown and won't have any of that if they actually do need to quarantine or self-isolate. So that was something we wanted to at least put on your radar. And then the second item was, it's actually very soon going to be time where we need to start labor negotiations. I'm not sure what it's going to look like. It'll probably be a lot of go-to meeting, but we do need to start thinking about upcoming negotiations as our contract expires at the end of this year. So it would maybe be a good idea to schedule a, I'm not sure how you've done it previously, but we could schedule a full council meeting, closed session, to get direction on what items you would like to see in the next negotiation. I assume it would be a full council. I don't know if maybe it is just the committee. I'll let you guys direct me on how it's been done previously, but we should think about getting that scheduled.
Can you give me more on a time frame that you were thinking, Samantha, of when you wanted to start getting some initial ideas together? And I will tell you, I don't know how it was done previously, and we can ask around, but I think we're going to probably want to do it with a full council, regardless of how it was done in the past, just where our journey has been as a council. We've been involved in a lot of these pieces, and so I think the council will all want to chime in on the direction for negotiations. I don't want to speak out of turn, but that's kind of where my radar is.
Okay, and it's not anything that has to be done this week, but I would say in May for sure, I would think we'd need to have at least our initial meeting. That would maybe give, if we can schedule it for May, that would give the council time to review the contracts, kind of maybe make their wish list or tell me, you know, kind of review things and see what they want. And then that can be imparted to Brian and I at the closed session.
So maybe our second labor meeting in May, let's just pencil that in tentatively as a full council labor committee to talk about negotiations.
Okay, that's the 25th, just so you know.
Okay, is that soon enough?
I think so. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, seriously, it doesn't really get going, you know, sometimes until September, October, November, but I think with all that's happened, I think there's going to be a lot of discussion and talk, given the fact that they've already put us on notice that they want to initiate bargaining, that sometimes that shows up in September. It didn't. It, I think, showed up in March. So I think it'll be an interesting bargain. So we'll start it in May and see where it takes us.
Councilmember Schwantes, did you have your hand up? Councilmember Alvarado does. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're in an election year. We're in an unusual year. So if there's any hot button, Sam or Brian, that you believe you can share with us going ahead of time. These meetings are tricky. As they are, a lot of times the councilors, the mayor, that can't see who's saying what or doing what. So I think it's important that if you know of anything that we should be talking about in advance or learning about in advance, I would appreciate if you would share that rather than wait until we're, you know, at the nth hour and we're trying to figure it out. This is, we've never, ever been here before. So it's going to be important that we communicate and share like never before. So just keep that in mind. Thank you.
Samantha, a quick question on the other piece, the sick leave bank. Are there any examples out there that we're probably just going to borrow from for levels of what those would be? Or is there any state mandates on any of those or restrictions?
I can find out. I'll survey my other cities here and see what they do. Trying to think, I can't remember the cities off the top of my head, but I know there's other cities who have it. Just we have our sick leave donation policy where it goes to a specific employee, but several other cities, their sick leave donation just all goes in one place and then anyone can draw from it. So that's what I'm going to copy. But yeah, I'll contact my sister cities, for lack of a better word, and see what their policies are, and that's where I'll start
Because I remember talking about it as it pertained to individuals in the past. This will be unique, and I would imagine in short term for dealing with this specific COVID issue.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So probably the amounts that are already stated will probably be overkill, I would assume, than what someone might need, but who knows. So, all right. More other miscellaneous issues. So we got the 25th for the pre-negotiation. City Administrator.
Yeah, committee members, the only other thing that I guess I had that I wanted to, you know, broach at this point in time is I basically had, you know, instituted a no new employee hiring freeze kind of a thing, you know, including part-timers and, you know, and full-timers for all that matters. But the one position that we did include in finance was at least in the end discussion, the reason why I was pushing for it was for succession planning. And, you know, in 18, you know, let's face it, in 18 months, you know, our finance director could be retired. And so our efforts for a succession plan really would go for naught at this point in time. So I guess I'd like to at least put that on the table, that this wasn't just a hey, we'd like to have another employee. There actually was, you know, I think a very legitimate reason beyond the actually doing of the work, because it has to do with that department's, we'll call it, inability to have somebody waiting in line to be the finance director. And that's a very important position. So I want to throw that out there. I know I had talked to Steve today and he said, well, I'd like to talk more about this. And I said, you got no problem with it. He said, well, you know, an assistant finance director is going to, you know, cost more than just an accountant type position. And I said, well, that's fine, because we wouldn't have this position on board until July 1st if we started today, you know. So we've got more than enough money in the 2020 budget to deal with it. The question is, do we want to move forward, or do we want to continue on? Because to me, the COVID virus thing is a bump in the road of a long life of a city. I mean, you know, we're planning roads that should be here another 100 years from now, and I don't want to get so caught up into the COVID-19 thing that says, oh, we can't do nothing. No, we still have to look after our best interests. That's why we are still doing road projects. That's why we still, you know, have to, you know, deal with our streets and fill potholes. We have things that we've got to do. And this is just one of them that it's supported by the succession planning concept, which in that department, we don't have a plan. Other than when somebody leaves, we fill that position. And I'm okay with that, but I want labor to, I think, you know, review that in light of everything else that's going on and either say, yep, we're going to stay the course. We're not going to worry about that until 2021 or later, or no, we're taking a long-term approach at this. And this is a staffing thing to bolster that department, so in the future, we don't fall on our face kind of a thing. So I'm open to discussion of that particular topic. I'd love to hear what you have to say on it, because that's the kind of thing the labor committee is supposed to look at.
Vicki, Councilmember Davis.
I guess I'd rather be proactive in that and do a good job to find someone to take over for our finance director than, you know, than wait.
I would ask the question, because when we put those things on there, they sort of are equalized in that we say no new hires. And if we are going to make an exception on one, are you comfortable that that's the right exception that is made? I mean, because everyone will have a rationale for why they had the position there in the first place. In my experience in Wilmer, you have to have a lot of rationale for why you're going to put a position in. So if we're going to choose one or another, we have to have a very thoughtful response to those who were not in that immediate group to get granted that are still going to have to wait. So as long as we're able to articulate clearly why that decision's made to those other groups that it was not made for, I'm in support of that, because I'm sure their reasons may not be for continuation or succession. They may have other reasons, but now we're waiting succession as higher than whatever their reasons were.
Yeah, I just want to point out that unlike the fire department, who I think, Samantha, we had the job description ready to go on January 2nd, and you know, bam, bam, we went through the process and we had it. Had we done this with finance, the person would be here already, you know, kind of a thing. But I think there was a hesitancy to say, okay, let's get through the end of the year bookwork before we take on a project. So I think just due to, you know, a decision, a common sense decision that was made shortly after the first of the year by finance, it just didn't get done. You know, now we're in pre-audit, and then we'll be in audit, and then we'll be in post-audit. So there's always something going on, you know, in finance. And then you throw on the local option sales tax and the analysis. And I know that we're spending a large amount of time just in dealing with our investments that are being called every day. And we're trying to find a home, you know, for those things. And I think we can get, if I'm not mistaken, 0.5% if we go out for 2 years right now. And, you know, we're taking the cash flow method. We're just dumping it into money market and getting 0.6%, which is, you know, better than long term. But that eats up so much time, and that you kind of sit and say, that additional effort and all the things that are going on was the reason that was in the budget in the first place. And then when we finally finalized it, you know, I kind of threw out there, I said, yeah, but what about succession planning? And that's where it kind of took a little bit of twist, something different than what originally was intended. So I believe that the need is there. And if we're going to take a long-term approach to how we operate as a city, you can't let those things just fall by the wayside and say, oh, we'll worry about that 2 years from now. That just doesn't, it's a bumpy road there. So I'm done.
Councilmember Schwantes, did you have your hand up?
Well, I did, but the administrator covered a number of those comments, and that it was busy with all of the projects that we have going on already. We've complicated it with the COVID-19, and it's requiring more time and more work and more effort and greater expertise. And with the succession planning, I would just say I support it as well. So,
Mayor Kelvin.
Thank you for allowing me to speak, Chair Meske. I think Administrator Gramas has really addressed that very well. This is an area that really needs to be addressed and really needs to be talked about, because we need the depth in that department. And I know with a lot of the work that we have going on, which is all about finance right now, I think that we need any support that we can get in that department. We need to bolster that department.
Thank you. Councilmember Alvarado.
I believe that's correct. It's the lifeblood of our city to know where our money is and how it's being spent. If something should happen to Steve with that knowledge that he has, you know, it would, there would be a panic, I'm sure. We would get through it, but I agree that we need the succession plan. It's a vital, very vital role. So I just want to say I agree that we should be moving forward positively on that. Thank you.
Other comments on that particular point? I would just always say that whenever you say one area is valuable, that we make sure that we acknowledge that all areas are valuable. It's what is the parameters that are making us look at this particular area over others, because I would imagine many would say they're the lifeblood of the city as well. And I think they all are absolutely critical. So I would say proceed with caution as we move forward and make sure that we have all our T's crossed and all the I's dotted and we hire the right person for the job. And if that takes some time, it takes some time. I would echo some comments made in the chat. All right. Additional discussion on this topic. Are there additional miscellaneous items? I'm seeing two no's, that's perfect. Council members, any additional information, any miscellaneous from anybody here? Apologize if you're hearing birds. They're apparently right outside my window. So, and there are a lot of cardinals, so a little home pride. If there are no additional items, we will look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, there's a motion made and seconded to adjourn. Anyone opposed? Oh, do we have a question? Vicki, was that you? Oh, some weird this sound. All right. Hearing no objection, we are adjourned. Thank you for your time this evening. It was a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to very good things to come. It sounds like maybe Wilmer will be waking from its slumber shortly, so and doing so very responsibly. All right, take care.